but this morning I want to talk about faith. Everybody say faith? Faith. So there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of what is faith. And some people, we think that our faith is, you can go ahead and put the start with the pictures. I have a few pictures this morning. We think that our faith is, we good? Oh my goodness. Okay. So the computer is locked up. So think about like this. Oh yeah. Yeah. This is what we think about. Like some of you are like, oh man, I hope that screen works. So some of us, when we think about faith, this is the thing we look at. Like, oh yeah. Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna make it to the other side. Like knock on wood, right? Like our fingers are crossed, right? I just saw somebody went knock on wood, right? So like this idea of fingers crossed, maybe you grew up, maybe you were in the Word of Faith movement, and man, you were taught, and this next picture, you thought, man, I can have the life of luxury, baby. Man, I can have the car, the house. I've always wanted a grand staircase in Jesus' name. You know, you blab it, you grab it, right? All those things, right? All of, easy, easy. We're going to get there. And I'll just help, just stand with me for a minute. Some of y'all just left the building. We saw that this is what it's all about, man. This is out. Or then like some of us, when we think about faith, we think about this kind of faith as we're just going down the river, man. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not mine to see. Que sera, sera. And I'll just float down the river of life. And then I'll put this caveat on. Everything that comes my way is God's will. Everything that happened to me is just must be what God wanted. Well, explain tragedy to me. Explain child abuse to me then. Everything is just what God's will is. That's probably one of the most dangerous of them all. It's just thinking that everything that just happens my way is just God's will. And whatever happens, it just must be what God wanted. Well, the Bible says that God wills that no one should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. We know that doesn't happen. Right? So some of y'all, all of a sudden, the wheels are like, wait a minute, that's right. No, just because it's God's will, do you think that it happens? No. No, if that was true, everybody would be saved. All people would come to know the truth. There would be no abuse, right? So when we talk about these things, like just this faith of just, this is not what it is. So I want to give, in the time that I have, the biblical version of what is faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. It's not a scary thing, guys. This is what we are made for, right? So we are made to be people of faith. So there's been cliffs on both sides. Let's look at the word. Or as my notes say, let's loot at the word. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, but the righteous ones will live by faith. Faith. That scripture is quoted multiple times throughout scripture, that the righteous will live by faith. We are called to live by faith. Watch this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, now without faith, is it impossible to please God? Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who the ones who seek him. Actually, I said diligently because actually the original translation, actually this word seek is not just like, hey, I looked for it and I looked like right here and I couldn't find it. No, this seek is turn the couch over. Turn the TV, pull the TV back, pull the bed back. I'm finding this thing. I am seeking for this thing. That's the definition of this word seek. Those who diligently seek after him. He rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. Not casually. Not casually. And let me just go ahead and say before I even go any further, this is a basic truth. But it doesn't happen. This doesn't work for casual working in this, right? This is the I seek God as a lifestyle. This is who I am, right? So hope, and then it says this in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1. It says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Hope is, like Julie said, the expectancy that things will go well. So actually, it begins right there at hope. So many of us, we try or we've pursued something and maybe it's dashed or maybe it hadn't happened and our hope is crushed. So we give up on hope. So many of us in this room, you may have given up on hope. Can things really turn around? You're like, well, I prayed about it and it didn't happen. Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I asked God about it and it didn't work out. So I'm going to continue to float down the river of God's will because it's safer that way. But no, that's not what the scripture says as we dive into this. So we need to change, and we'll get to it. I'm just kind of giving some highlight scriptures for a moment. So hope is essential to our faith. James chapter 1 and verse 5. These are more foundational scriptures. And you're like, because I want to kill the three things I just saw. The video, the pictures. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, now if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. But let me back up. There is so much in me about this. Literally, if you want to, y'all can go have a party and the rest of whoever wants to say, I can just teach this for hours. Right? Okay. There's so much in me about this, so I could just stay here. Okay. It says, now anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Ask God. Amen. We don't ask. He who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But watch this. But let him ask in faith without doubting. Let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like a surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. It sounds like that guy in the tube, doesn't it? Whatever the wind takes me, wherever it's gonna roll with me, I'm gonna go with it, right? He says, if you're a doubter, if you're not in faith, you'll be like that. He says, that person, this is James. It's James' fault. James did it, who walked with Jesus and knew Jesus and watched Jesus operate. He said, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Everybody say anything. Everybody say ouch. That's the best response I've had all morning. So faith, listen, watch this. Like it or not, John Eldridge says it like this. Like it or not, there's a way things work. There's a way things operate. Electricity, there are laws that govern the operation of electricity. Right? Derek can tell you, right? I can tell you. I've been shocked by it. I was actually cranking. I was trying to fix a weed eater last night, and I had my hand on the spark plug with it unplugged, and I pulled it. Yeah, yeah. There's a law that governs the operation of electricity. And it shot through my mortal body. I felt it. Everybody say laws. They govern the operation of electricity. There's laws that I don't care how much I want to. If I leap off this stage, I will hit that carpet. There are laws that operate and that work in the laws of gravity. There are laws. God has ways. There's a way things work. It's through nature. It's through relationships. It's through the way we interact with God. And there are laws that operate through faith. There are the laws that work, right? So, and these operations, like he says that we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God without faith. I'm like, wow, I'm feeling all condemned. It's okay. stay. That's why I'm not done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is reality of things hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. The proof of what is not seen. So I want you to think about that situation. Think about those things that you put over there on that wall, on that prayer. The faith is, God, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God, you're working. I can close up right now. You're working. You're working. I can't see it, but you're working. See, we see here that faith is not just a hope. Faith actually gives substance to that hope. It's actually what gives it the power, right? It's the substance. Faith says that there's a reality to my hope. It says that there's a reality to my hope. Disappointments and things like that can crush our hope. So we need to work on that. Okay, so. And in other places, it says four different times in the Bible. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are believers. Like, you as a Christian are believing. Let's just say, I remember Brian Jardine one Sunday morning. I'll never forget this when he said this. He said, we believe some crazy stuff as Christians. It's okay. We did. We believe that a guy 2,000 years ago died on the cross, was dead, buried, had pierced his heart, blood and water came out of it, and 3 days later, he's back up, and he started a new thing. We believe some wild stuff. We believe that Mary was a virgin and all of a sudden got pregnant. Like what I'm saying is, we already believe some pretty wild stuff. Just step on into the next level. We believe that when you die, this isn't it. That we go on forever. So let's just start believing some of the other stuff that are here. Just go ahead. Step out and just start believing. Because we already believe things we don't see. Right? So just step on out. And watch. I'm telling you, watch. Okay. All right. So let's get into some of the mechanics of this thing. Rex Ruth. Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus says this. Jesus replied to them, have faith in God. Notice that it's have faith in God. Not you. Not even your faith in your faith. As weird as that starts sounding. But just hang around some faith people and you'll start circling around. We don't have faith in our faith. We don't have faith in our own ability. We have faith in God. In God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Everything else is all right if we understand that, right? Everything else we're going to talk about. He says, well, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, here we go. Let me read it. I'm just trying to quote it and read it at the same time. Therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you've received and it will be yours. Believe that you receive and it will be yours. Right? You're like, oh my gosh, there's so many qualifications for that, Pastor Dave. There's so many qualifications. So I just go and pray that God will give me a Lamborghini. That's what the faith people say. I just go believe God. I have a Lamborghini. Or if it's me, a McLaren. Come on, somebody. Let's get a little class up in here. If I believe, that means I can just go and believe and I can receive and then I'll have, right? Right? Or if you're Wesley, he wants it. Jesus, God, that boy's going to have a Tesla one day. I'm telling you. Because every time we see one, that's going to be mine, Dad. I was like, okay, boy. All right, you better get that good job. But so I believe and I receive. So here's the question. Why do we go to those extremes rather than live where we're at today. We're like, I don't know if that works, Pastor David. I don't know if that's God's will for me to have that Lamborghini. So I'm just going to ask God outside of God's will. You know what we do know God's will is? Peace. I don't need to go to the extremes and wonder why I can't have a Lamborghini. I can pray for peace. According to the scripture, that's a promise of God. And that's mine. I should own it. I should have it. I should walk in it. What gives me, you know, what gives me the ability to say, I ask, believe, and receive. I know what the will of the Lord is on that thing. I don't have to ask. I don't need to ask whether which job, like some of you are like, I believe. You may not be able to go as a single person. I claim that person in Jesus' name. I claim that fine specimen in Jesus' mighty name for my husband, my wife. And that's called witchcraft, right? We don't do witchcraft. But you know what I can do? I pray to God that my child's eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of their calling in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that I thank you, Father, that you are bringing people across that person's path that doesn't know you. Because Jesus said, pray for the laborers to go around and preach, right? He said, pray the heart, let the laborers, pray for laborers. Yeah, we can go pray for laborers to go across their path. I don't need God. I don't need to wonder. That's not a Lamborghini. No, it's God's will. I'm going to pray. And just because I don't, listen, just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean it's God's will. That means there's pushback. I am all over the place right now. But listen, we need to believe God and trust God. Without faith, it's impossible to believe Him, to please Him, right? I probably need to go back. So listen, it says, ask. James says, you have not because you don't ask. So many of the things that we're facing, we're just facing them. We haven't asked God. I haven't gone to my prayer closet and asked God for these things. I'm just hoping and a praying, right? Actually, I'm hoping and a wishing. Ask, believe, trust in God's action that He's moving. And then receive. Believe that you receive and you will have it. What does that mean? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Believe that you receive. What do you believe in that you receive? The answer? The manifestation? How about just believing that you receive God's power? You're praying for healing? I'm just going to pray God's power is working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. The manifestation is going to follow. I'm praying and believing that my kid will have an encounter with God, and that when he has an encounter with God, he'll come to the truth. Right? I'm believing that God is going to do this according to his word. I'm believing that not only is the manifestation going to happen, but I'm believing, what do I receive right now? The power of God is working in Jesus' name. God is working on my, some of you have been in your situation so long, you got to give God a moment to get it all worked out. Amen. So prayer is believing that you receive, right? Let me just ask you this. Why would you need faith? If you prayed, now think about it. Let's use some of my logic, people. If you prayed, and all of a sudden a manifestation popped up right then, why would you need faith? I got it right in front of me. Because my Bible says, talks about perseverance in faith. And actually, let me go to my next scripture, which leads right into the next scripture. And then let's look at Luke chapter 18. This is one of the only situations where before Jesus does the parable, he tells you what it's about. Most of the time, he just tells the parable and says, good luck with that one. Let the preachers deal with that years from now, right? But Jesus says, what's this? In verse 1 of Luke chapter 18. He said, now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. Everybody say, not give up. There was a judge, man, Lord help me, in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. Wow. Quality human. Didn't respect people. Just flat out, tell it like it is, Jesus. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he was unwilling. But later, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, or I can't stand people, or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. Then the Lord said, this is what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to the elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He says, listen, he said, we've been taught, I was taught incorrectly, that you pray once and then you're done. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, you want to pray in faith? It's right here. Pray. Keep asking. Keep at it. Keep at it. Don't quit. Keep at it. But I prayed once. I remember I came down front and somebody prayed for me and we prayed together. Jesus said, keep praying. Keep praying. Jesus, he correlated a real big jerk, a jerky bad guy to God. Not that God's a jerky bad guy. But see, he says the way it works there, it was the way, he says, that was the beginning of the parable. Remember the beginning of the parable? He says, this is how you should pray and not give up. Just like this woman who had to deal with this jerky judge. How many of you are glad we don't have a jerky judge? How many of you are glad we have a grace-filled judge? A God filled with mercy. And not only that, the difference between God and this unjust judge is God is willing to. But he still said, you need to pray and not give up. So many times we pray once, it didn't work. I'm going to quit praying. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not praying again. That's not what the Bible says. Keep praying. Pray. And then pray some more. And then pray some more. And then pray some more. And then speak to your mountain. And then pray some more. And then pray some more. Don't let go. Fast. Pray. Seek the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Some of you, let me tell you, especially in these, not especially, in all these things, but in his example, some of you have visions and dreams in your heart that God has given to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Latch on to those things. Well, it didn't happen when I was in my 20s. So what? So what? David didn't become king until he was 30. Joseph didn't become the guy he was, second in charge of all of that until he dreamed it when he was a teenager. It came to pass when he was 30 years old. That's a lot of waiting. And if you look at Joseph's life, a lot of trouble. Can you imagine him in that jail cell? That jail cell? That's a jail cell. Hey, we're going to have a sale on jail. That jail cell, thinking to himself, I have a promise that's in me. There's something in me. He said, I have a promise that's in me that I'm going to be the God you showed me. I know I got in trouble because I told my brothers, but God, you have a dream in me. You have a promise in me. And maybe he was feeling that one of those woe is me days. He was feeling those, wow, I'm supposed to people supposed to bow down to stars and wheat and stuff. About to bow down to me. I ain't seen nobody bow down. So this rat that's right here next to me in this jail. That rat's not even bowing to me. He's trying to eat my feet. It's like, and just terrible. And then all of a sudden, maybe Joseph starts stirring something up in him. No, 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 no. It was God who did that for me. God who gave me that dream. God who did that for me. Like David said, he's, I can encourage myself in the Lord. And maybe he said, I'll just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act now like I'm in charge then. So I'm going to get up. I'm going to take a broom. I'm going to start sweeping this jail. I'm going to start sweeping it. Next thing you know, some jail guy comes in and notices him. He goes, what are you doing? I'm sweeping my jail. I'm going to have the nicest jail cell of anybody in this block. It's going to be the nicest one. And then all of a sudden that jail guy goes, that guy's pretty intense. Maybe I should make him the head over all the jail. And so he makes Joseph the head of all the chains. How crazy is that? I don't know really what that looks like, but it's a promotion. See, too many of us, we do the woe is me. And we sit back and we just go, oh, it's not going to happen. And we just do the ringing of our fingers. You know, God never rings his fingers. God never looks at you and goes, I don't know how I'm going to help you. That Mike Jordan, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Which leads me to my next message. No, not my next message. James chapter 1, it's not up there, but James chapter 1, let me back up. Let me do my notes. I'm so all over. Yeah. James says this. He says, faith, well, let me make the point. Let me do the point. Let me be a good teacher. Number three. The third point is that faith needs to have corresponding action, or it's not faith. Or it's not faith. James tells us that faith without work is dead or useless. He tells us that if we're not a doer of the word, we deceive ourselves. I've said it for years. If you come to this church, no matter what season, what you believe should affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. Because if you're not doing it, then you don't believe it. You don't believe it. What you believe should affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. So too many times we see people, they're in that, got fired from my job. How am I going to pay for my kids' college? God promised me a Lamborghini, Pastor David said. And I'm going to get a Lamborghini. I'm going to get a Tesla. I might even get a 74 Vega. I'm getting nothing. I'm going to get evicted. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get evicted. My wife's going to leave me because I'm lazy and not doing anything. But I'm just worn. I'm beat up, God. And we do nothing. Like in that moment, what do you expect God to do? I feel bad for that guy. But God, he doesn't believe you. I know. You know, God's like, I know. He said he hated his job. And he kept saying by himself he was going to quit. Just figured that's what he wanted. But there was this time, this couple of times, even in his prayer closet, he's been praying, asking me for a better job. And I mean, you can't have another job unless he gets rid of this one. I mean, I'm just trying to get him to the blessing. I'm just trying to get him to the next place. Something needs to stir on the inside of us. No. You know me. I'm just gonna do all my things that I do all those 10 years. No. Not to me. You don't, devil. Not to me. You don't. If I lost my job under some kind of unjust situation or some kind of deal or whatever, you know what? God's got a better job for me. You know what? Because you know why? Because God said he would give me an abundance towards every good work. That's what the Bible says. Not even just enough to get along. Listen, do you understand that not just having enough to get along is not kingdom thinking? Kingdom thinking, where we get the messed up with the Lamborghini and the nice clothes and all this stuff, is that no, I'm going to have enough and extra to fund the kingdom of God, to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and you will be a blessing not just to your family, but to all nations. That out of you, Abraham, God's going to bless the world. I'm thinking, sometimes I stop and I'm thinking about the little genie. Remember Aladdin? Sometimes I think we think like little Aladdin and the genie. great big genie. You got a great big God. And you only allow him itty-bitty living space. You need to start believing big. We need to start, as a church, believing big. We need to start trusting God that will do what he said he will do. And the good thing is we learned last week that it's not up to us. You know, part of your humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is being a good employee. At work, why are you praying for favor on your job when you're showing up late? That's not being a doer of the work. Why are you trying to say that you want to excel in this when you're not giving God all that you have now? God's called us to. Why? I see Etta. Hey, Etta. I see Etta in the back room. You know what she would say right now? Why are you asking God to heal you because of what you're eating is destroying your whole body? Amen, Etta? Come on. There is stuff that we can do. You know, I love the word that we are co-laborers with him. Listen, what happens to, you know, 6 minutes, I can do it in 6 minutes. Listen, I'm praying about a situation. We talked about this a little bit in our small group the other night. I'm praying about a situation, asking God for the breakthrough. Many times, everybody say many times. You know what God tells me? My part. I hope this is okay. I'm just going to say it. Say it after forgiveness later. When Wesley was a little younger, he went through a difficult time. I'll just say he went through a difficult time. And I was praying, me and Julie would pray for him. Pray to God to turn his heart and change his heart. You know what God spoke to me to do? Go play video games with him. He said, shut your mouth. Quit preaching, go play video games with him. Love him. You know what was great? Sit down, play video games with him. You know what happens when you play video games with a teenager? They start talking. And you're like, oh yeah, Lord told me not to preach at him because I have all the answers to everything he's saying right now. And come on, parents. What am I doing? I'm obeying what the word of the Lord was saying. Love them. Be quiet. Shut your mouth and listen. And play video games with them. And slowly, and quit being so hard on them. He's 13 years old. He didn't need to know the perfect way to cut your grass. He didn't need to know everything that he did was wrong about what he needed to say here. Wow, you cut the grass. Good job, buddy. Amen? Faith has to have corresponding actions. Has to have obedience. Obedience. Obey what the word of the Lord says. You know what? A lot of times, like, we think about, like, maybe our marriage isn't where it should be. Are we doing our part? If we're not doing our part, why do we expect our spouse to do their part? Let me just say, that's not faith. That's not faith. If I'm not doing what God asked me to do, that's not faith. So, now here I'm in a quandary. We bring correction so we can fix it. You know what you can do? You can speak life out of your mouth. You know what you can do? You can just say, God, I trust you at your word. I'm going to show my spouse respect out of faith. I'm going to honor them by faith. I'm going to love them by faith. I'm going to be the one who leads in love in my home. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to do what the word of God says. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be the one that lives a life in front of my kids that honor God. I am going to do the word. I'm going to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. I'm not going to speak negatively out of my mouth. Jesus said, you speak to that mountain. Command it. There's power in your mouth. There are power in your words. We know that. Think about all the horrible things that people have said about you and to you. Some of you experienced awful things from your childhood. Think about the power of those words in those moments. How much more? How much more with the Spirit of God behind you? How much more with the goodness and kindness and love of God behind you? You speak words out of your mouth. Go back to my guy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just arrest all of those negative thoughts in Jesus' name. All of those thoughts that say I'm going under. All of those thoughts that my wife is thinking this way about me. All of those thinking, I arrest those things in Jesus' name. It is not happening to me in Jesus' name. I'm going to get up with the strength of the Lord on the inside of me. I'm going to push back against darkness. I'm not just going to float down the river of just laziness and tiredness and woe is me-ism. I am going to stand up with my feet firm on the rock that we sang about. Actually, that scripture, that song, it says, Christ is my firm, that I stand on the rock, and because I'm on the rock, you know what the rock is? Being a doer of the word. Let's read it in context. It's not some ethereal standing on the rock of Jesus, right? It's being a doer of the word. So I'm going to be, what do I got, God? What are my marching assignments? I'm going to go, oh, apply for jobs. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go apply for jobs. Yes, sir. I'm going to go apply for jobs. They rejected me. I don't care. I've got another job. They don't know what they just missed. Because I would have been the best employee they've ever seen. Those people in that jail thought Joseph was the best. They ain't seen nothing until they got somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost that serves not just them as the boss, but I serve the boss. And actually, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know this better than anybody, that your boss doesn't even ask you half the things that God asks you to do. But because of that, I'm gonna have favor on my job wherever I go. I'm gonna get that job. When I get that job, I'm gonna be promoted. I'm not gonna be in the low level forever. I'm getting promoted in Jesus' name. You know why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of me. I got visions to fund the kingdom. I got visions to push back darkness. Some of you are like, I have a vision to take in children of abuse. Listen, we may have Roe versus Wade overturned. What are all those moms going to do? You know what? This could be the church's finest hour to rescue moms with moms. To let the Hope Center be the place. Right? That Hope Center is going to have to expand big. And the church has a shining opportunity to help moms through Christ's, quote unquote, crisis pregnancies. Could be the finest moment we've ever seen for the church. Believe big. Come on, individual, believe big. Come on, church, Hope Church, believe big. I heard a really good word a minute ago. I'm holding on to that word. I'm glad it was recorded. I may just go back and listen to it. I'm very full discouraged. Nope, 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 nope. God, you said. God, you said. David, listen, you ever read the Psalms? Last thing, we'll go. David, listen to David. I understand moments of despair, and so did David. Psalm 42, listen to what David said. And this is not a writer in Hollywood, this is his own thoughts, right? Personal thoughts. David says this in Psalms 142, I'm deeply depressed. He goes, this is where I'm at. Then he adds this. But the Lord will send his faithful love to me. My adversaries taunt me. say all these things about me. Come on, soul. Then he commands his soul. No. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Listen to this in Psalms 55 and verse 4. He says, my heart shudders within me. Terrors of death sweep over me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me. But then later on, later on in that verse, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he speaks of a friend's betrayal. But then in verse 18, he says, but God will redeem me from my battle unharmed. God will redeem me from my battle unharmed. See, it's not where you begin. The Bible says that Sarah, that she found strength to conceive seed when she was over the age of childbearing. You know why? Because she considered him faithful who had promised. Oh, I know you're going through some stuff. And I know it's okay. It's okay to even say what you're going through. But there's got to be a but there. But my God. I can only imagine Sarah getting that word. I'm 90. What, y'all? I'm going to have a baby? Whatever. Literally, that's what the Bible says. Maybe not the whatever. That's the David International Version. Whatever. But the Bible says she received strength to conceive. The power was made to conceive seed because she considered him faithful who had promised. That God will not only promise what he'll do, but he'll not only promise things, but he will do what he said he will do. I can go on. As faith is not denying the bad, it's recognizing that the power of God is greater. Light over darkness. So this morning, we have cards. We have the cards, right? We have the cards there. Yellow cards. Are the yellow cards somewhere? They're green. They're green on the table. And they are for breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. You're like, I already asked for breakthrough last week. It's all good. But what's a breakthrough? A breakthrough is when you feel stuck. You're just in limbo. It's just stuck. You could feel like you are stuck. Not things aren't moving like you think they should be. And you need a breakthrough, right? You ever been in a raft or going down a river and you're letting you're in one of those little tubes and you're just kind of going in that whirlpool, you get stuck. You're like going, trying to get out of there. Or maybe a better example is you ever been on a merry-go-round? I hate merry-go-rounds. Like, that's the lamest ride of all time. Oh, hey, Julie. Going around again. Oh, hey, Julie, there you are again. There's Steely again. Oh, she got a snow cone. Wish I had a snow cone. I'm on the stupid merry-go-round on this fake horse. Or then you're on the one that just doesn't move. The line is like. No, she bought a snow cone for a friend. That's amazing. We gotta have a snow cone. I'm on this merry-go-round. You're seeing the same thing around over and over. Every time I'm tempted, I hit that one. I continue to do that one thing. I say I'm not gonna drink like that again. But then you go and you do them. And then you do. And then you wake up mad at yourself the next morning. And disappointed in yourself the next day. I'm not gonna watch that stuff anymore. I'm gonna read my Bible every day. Nope. She still got that snow cone. A breakthrough is breaking through that. And you can do it by faith. Believe God. I have these recurring thoughts that just keep haunting me all the time, that I'm not good enough. It's like a merry-go-round. You just always, when you come up to something that's a barrier, you're like, oh. Men, some of us men, you have this attitude, I don't have what it takes. God wants to break that over you. Some of you women, you've had this thing that you're of your worth, and I'm not worth fighting for. God wants to break that off of you and become the strong woman that God's called you to be. Breakthrough. So as Eric and the team come up, I want you to, we're going to pass them out. We're going to pass them out. They'll be the best way. Oh, they got them. I'm going to tell you what, if you need one, let's all stand together. We'll do that. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Say faith for breakthrough. Everybody do this. Maybe I don't know if it's the Lord, but I'm just going to do it. Just for me. Just take your finger and wag it. Go, no more devil. Do it. Do it right at him. Close your eyes. Pretend like he's standing right there in front of you. No more devil. Not anymore. Say, I'm breaking through. No more will this thing hold on to me. In Jesus' name. My job, I'm not stuck. In Jesus' name. I'm moving forward. In Jesus' name. Say, no more devil. I'm not stuck. In Jesus' name.